This is Tom Roy with radio news from Waveform's WGXC in New York. News about radio waves, transmission art, wireless surveillance, and other broadcast issues from wavefarm.org. Free Speech Radio News, a show that included freelance audio journalism from around the world, will air its final show Friday, September 27th. The show ends because of financial struggle. Quote, our major funder Pacifica has not been able to pay us, and its past due balance to Free Speech Radio News is about $198,000, the show's board of directors said in a letter printed at newsroom.free103.9.org. Quote, our production currently costs about $36,000 per month. Until recently, your dollars supplemented a $25,000 per month contract from our major donor, the Pacifica Foundation. But our current contract is for just $10,000 per month, which is not enough to sustain daily production at its current level. Free Speech Radio News emerged in January 2000, according to Wikipedia, as freelance reporters from the former Pacifica Network News engaged in a strike over censorship by Pacifica's then executive director and board. The strike ended in March 2002 when the board was replaced, and Free Speech Radio News since then has received major financial support from Pacifica. The New York Times recently reported that Pacifica is not just behind on its payments to Free Speech Radio News, it also owes more than $2 million in broadcast fees to Democracy Now!
Hello, this is an update from Pacifica Radio Network. My name is Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm the Affiliates Network Manager for Pacifica Radio. It is with deep regret that we must announce the end of the Free Speech Radio News daily newscast as of September 27th. The newscast has ended due to financial constraints. Pacifica and Free Speech Radio News are continuing to be in communication about options to bring you grassroots news. We are looking to understand what is possible right now. We greatly appreciate the support and participation of your local radio station as a valued member of Pacifica Radio Network. And as always, it is your participation as listener that makes community radio possible. We thank you for listening, and we continue to seek ways to serve you.
Here is the beginning and the end of the very last Free Speech Radio News.
This is Free Speech Radio News for Friday, September 27th, 2013. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina. That's it for today's program. The newscast was produced by Catherine Kump. Headlines editor was Jess Burns. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Alice Olstein. Our technical production team at KPFA Berkeley is Janine Eder and Carla West. Our theme music was composed and produced by Alan Weatherhead. Today is FSRN's last daily news program. After more than 3,400 newscasts, 22,000 reports from across the world, and more than 13 years of global grassroots reporting, we at FSRN would like to express our deep appreciation for the network of listeners, supporters, reporters, and community radio stations that have helped us bring underreported, timely news to the air. In the past few days, we've heard from many of you about how important FSRN is in your lives, and we hope you'll stay in touch as FSRN seeks a new way to continue to do the work that we all value. You can find out more about what's next for FSRN on our website, fsrn.org, stay in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook, and to send us your suggestions about the future of Free Speech Radio News, you can write us at comments@fsrn.org. Finally, on behalf of all of us at FSRN, thank you for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.
Matthew Lazar in Radiosurvivor.com reports that Federal Communications Commissioner Ajit Pai spoke at the National Association of Broadcasters radio show on Friday, September 20th. He talked about AM radio, quote, revitalization, unquote, topic that the New York Times explored with him earlier this month. Pai had three ideas to stabilize the AM band. He wants to repeal the FCC's ratchet rule, which Radio Survivor says is basically a suite of regulations designed to rein in AM's tendency to bounce off the ionosphere at night, resulting in all kinds of annoying interference, unquote. Those rules currently limit reception of many AM stations after dark. He also wants to make it easier for AM stations to obtain and use FM translators, which the FCC allowed AM signals to rebroadcast on in 2009. This may prove difficult, though, with the new low-power FM radio stations that are now in an application process. And his third proposal is to continue testing digital AM radio. Quote, we should allow for tests of synchronous transmission systems. We should be open to tests involving changes to nighttime power levels, and we should encourage encourage other innovative ideas too. To be clear, I don't believe that we at the FCC should take our inspiration from Cole Porter and say anything goes, but I do think we should have a very open mind, unquote. Pai noted that the FCC plans to release a draft order seeking public input on these ideas. You can read that full story at radiosurvivor.com from Matthew Lazar. Paul Rimsmandale in radiosurvivor.com also reports that the FCC will hold a webinar about low-power FM on October 3rd from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time at fcc.gov/live. It'll be a video web stream at fcc.gov/live of the next low-power FM webinar where the members of the FCC will help folks who are interested in applying for a low-power FM station in the window they were going to allow October 15th to 29th. You can read more about that at radiosurvivor.com. Eric Gardner at The Hollywood Reporter writes that in a March 13, 2012 filing at the American Arbitration Association, the National Football League demanded $1.5 million from pop star MIA for allegedly breaching her performance contract and tarnishing the NFL's goodwill and reputation by brandishing a middle finger while backing up Madonna during the halftime show at the previous year's Super Bowl. MIA, born Mathinga Maya Arupragasam from Sri Lanka, does not want to pay, though. On September 23rd, she released this angry video on YouTube.
The NFL thing is completely ridiculous. It's been making me laugh for a while, but now it's so boring I don't even laugh anymore. So the precise moment in question, and you can actually freeze frame this, as many media outlets have. Yes, the frame you're looking at basically has my middle finger in the foreground. And if you find the larger picture where it zooms out, there is a row background scenery of 10, 15 cheerleaders, young black females that Madonna got from a local high school in Indianapolis, and they're all under 16. And if you look at them, they're wearing cheerleader outfits, hips thrusted in the air, legs wide open, and in this very sexually provocative position. So now they're scapegoated me into figuring out the goalposts on what is offensive.
You can read that full story at The Hollywood Reporter. Michael Stocker in the National Geographic magazine reports on the increasing underwater high-frequency sound pollution emitted from shipping noise, military sonar, acoustic beacons, and echo sounders that is crowding out higher-frequency bands that whales use to communicate and many other fish listen to for predatory advantages. Now the sharks have tiny transmitters on their fins, too. But Stocker writes things may be getting quieter. Quote, while the ocean is getting louder with the sounds of mechanization and technology, it was not necessarily quieter before the industrialization of shipping, unquote, Stocker writes. Quote, the ocean was probably a pretty noisy place before the 20th century due to biological noise. Since the industrialization of whaling and fishing, millions of whales and perhaps 90% of all fish have been pulled out of the sea, along with all their noises, unquote. You can read the full story in the National Geographic magazine. Live Transmission Joy Division Reworked, a 2012 Brighton Festival commission, is an electro-orchestral and visual reinterpretation of Joy Division by the radio artists Scanner and the Heritage Orchestra. After premiering at the festival last year, a brief tour of England commenced September 21st at London's Royal Festival Hall. The amplified 30-piece Heritage Orchestra Scanner, visual artist Matt Watkins of Beat 13, and orchestra composer Tom Trapp perform with members of Three Trap Tigers, drummer Adam Betts, guitarist Matt Calvert, and ghost poet bassist John Calvert. You can see newsroom.free103.9.org for the complete dates through October 2nd. Paul Lewis and Dan Roberts in The Guardian report that on September 25th, several senators combined various legislation recently being proposed to rein in United States government surveillance into the Intelligence Oversight and Surveillance Reform Act. Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon, Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, Mark Udall, Democrat from Colorado, and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, introduced the bill. The act would prohibit the NSA's bulk collection of phone records of Americans under Section 215 of the Patriot Act and close a so-called, quote, back door, unquote, that potentially enables the NSA to intercept the internet communications of Americans swept up in a program protected by Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act. Russia Today reports that Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat from California, who is the chairperson of the Senate Intelligence Committee, will introduce a weaker bill that would not limit the current scope of NSA surveillance. Howard Ryken, the Chicago Tribune, reports that among the 24 winners of the 2013 MacArthur Fellowships, or Genius Grants, announced on Wednesday, September 25th, several are radio-related artists. Each winner received $625,000 over a five-year period with no strings attached, an increase from the half-million amount of previous years. Since 1981, the Chicago-based John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation Fellowships have been selected by a secret process for which no one may apply. This year's winners include 13 men and 11 women from 32 to 60 years old. Some of the notable winners in the radio and experimental music fields: Jeremy Denk, 43, of New York, a concert pianist that plays standard repertory and 20th century works and writes for The New Yorker, New Republic, and other publications. Carl Haber, 54, Berkeley, California, experimental physicist Haber has invented new means for recapturing fragile aural documents. Recordings made on wax cylinders, lacquer discs, and other historic technologies have been retrieved by Haber and colleagues using a non-contact technique that transforms visual data into a digital sound file. Haber is behind the cleaning up of the first recording of Alexander Graham Bell from 1885.
You are my Alexander
V.J. Iyer, 41, of New York, is a jazz pianist that brings the sounds of his Indian heritage into jazz improvisation and composition. And Dina Katabi, 42, from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Katabi, a professor at the Massachusetts Institutes of Technology, and her collaborators have created ways of sending radio waves faster, more safely, and more securely. She has, quote, shown that Wi-Fi signals can be used to read the movement of a person's body, enabling a computer to receive instructions delivered by gesture rather than by keystroke, unquote. You can read that full story in the Chicago Tribune. Friday Morning Quarterback, a radio trade magazine, reports that radio consultant firm Mark Kassoff and Company has revealed a portion of its annual Listener Think P1 study, and the research shows that 70% of 18 to 64-year-old radio listeners agree with the statement, quote, if you couldn't listen to radio, you'd feel something important was missing from your life, unquote. Only 27% disagree, while 3% don't know. The study also said that 53% of 18 to 64-year-olds agree strongly or slightly that, quote, radio isn't as good as it used to be, unquote. The findings are based on 989 online interviews with radio listeners in the U.S. conducted in September. REC Rec Networks reports that at the September 26 Federal Communications Commission monthly open meeting, the audio division staff presented to the full commission an update on the progress of the Auction 83 translator processing.
Of the 6,350 Auction 83 applications that were on file in December 2012, only 8 have not either been dismissed, provided the opportunity to submit a long-form application, or given the opportunity to submit a settlement agreement. Our efforts could result in the authorization of 1,700 new FM translator construction permits during calendar 2013. This would represent a 30% increase in the number of authorized translators in the U.S. We look forward to completing the grant process for the remaining translator construction permits so we can focus our efforts on the coming LPFM window.
The SEC also previewed the low-power FM application window October 15th through October 29th and said that the first singleton application, those that do not face any competing applications, will be processed in mid-January 2014, and MX groups, those with competing applications, will be announced later in 2014. Rec Networks will have predictive information on the MX applications posted after the FCC publicly releases the information about the applications early in November. Paul Lewis and Dan Roberts in The Guardian report about the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing September 26th discussing potential legislative changes to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, the law that governs a large portion of electronic and phone surveillance by intelligence agencies in the United States. Several U.S. senators are proposing changes to the law. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, National Security Agency Director General Keith Alexander, and Deputy Attorney General James Cole were among those testifying about the surveillance program. Here's Alexander speaking September 26th.
We do make mistakes. The vast majority of incidents reflect the challenge, very specific rules in the context of ever-changing technology. Compliance incidents, with very rare exception, are unintentional and reflect the sorts of errors that will occur in any complex system of technical activity. The press claimed evidence of thousands of privacy violations. This is false and misleading. According to NSA's independent inspector general, there have been only 12 substantiated cases of willful violation over 10 years, essentially one per year. Several of these cases were referred to the Department of Justice for potential prosecution, appropriate discipline, action in other cases. We hold ourselves accountable every day. Most of these cases involved improper tasking or querying regarding foreign persons in foreign places. To repeat, I am not aware of any intentional or willful violations of the FISA statute, which is designed to be most protective of the privacy interests of U.S. persons.
Alexander and Clapper refused to say on the record where the NSA had ever sought to trial cell site data, pinpointing the location of individuals via their phones. The Federal Communications Commission is waiting to see if the federal government will be open on Tuesday, October 1st, and David Oxenford at Broadcast Law Blog writes about what might happen. Congress needs to pass a, quote, continuing resolution, unquote, to keep the government running at current levels, and that is in doubt at the moment. No plan for a shutdown has been announced yet, but under a plan for 2011, when the government last came within hours of a shutdown, all of the FCC's workforce would need to go home and could not perform any functions while the government is closed. Quote, there will be no construction permits issued for new or improved stations and no grants of other pending applications, including assignments and transfers, meaning that sales of stations would be in limbo for however long the shutdown lasts. And in most other shutdowns or in shutdown planning, the commission staff was not even allowed to voluntarily do anything related to their official business, so they could not answer emails or phone calls from home or travel on their own dime to anything related to their official functions, unquote, Oxenford wrote in Broadcast Law Blog. Stop Watching Us, a coalition of more than 100 public advocacy organizations and companies, including Electronic Frontier Foundation, the American Civil Liberties Union, National Libertarian Party, and others, are organizing 2 days of lobbying Congress and a mass rally in Washington, D.C., October 25th and 26th, about the government's surveillance programs. October 26th, the day of the rally, is the 12th anniversary of the Patriot Act signing. RIA Novosti reported last week that Voice of Russia is closing its shortwave service. Now they have released a vague response, quote, unfortunately, so far we have no official information as regards to the cancellation of shortwave broadcasting. However, we cannot rule out such a scenario for the future, since currently the Voice of Russia is speedily introducing modern-day technologies of radio and internet broadcasting, unquote. Free Speech Radio News aired its final broadcast September 27th. Here is the beginning and the end of the very last show.
This is Free Speech Radio News for Friday, September 27th, 2013. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina. That's it for today's program. The newscast was produced by Catherine Kump. Headlines editor was Jess Burns. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Alice Olstein. Our technical production team at KPFA Berkeley is Janine Eder and Carla West. Our theme music was composed and produced by Alan Weatherhead. Today is FSRN's last daily news program. After more than 3,400 newscasts, 22,000 reports from across the world, and more than 13 years of global grassroots reporting, we at FSRN would like to express our deep appreciation for the network of listeners, supporters, reporters, and community radio stations that have helped us bring underreported, timely news to the air. In the past few days, we've heard from many of you about how important FSRN is in your lives, and we hope you'll stay in touch as FSRN seeks a new way to continue to do the work that we all value. You can find out more about what's next for FSRN on our website, fsrn.org, stay in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook, and to send us your suggestions about the future of Free Speech Radio News, you can write us at comments@fsrn.org. Finally, on behalf of all of us at FSRN, thank you for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.